Merck lung cancer drug advances as pharma faces Parkinson's setback. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, Biogen and Denali Therapeutics and hashtag X27, LRRK2 targeting Parkinson and hashtag X27, S drug failed in a phase 2 trial of 648 adults on May 21, 2026, invalidating a hypothesis that had directed hundreds of millions in research capital since 2018. The failed therapy was based on the 2004 discovery that LRRK2 gene mutations drive a rare inherited form of Parkinson and hashtag X27S, combined with a 2018 finding suggesting blocking the protein could benefit the broader Parkinson and hashtag X27S population. The clinical setback represents the most consequential neurodegenerative drug development failure of the year and leaves both companies without their most closely watched pipeline asset. The collapse of Biogen and Denali Therapeutics' LRRK2 targeting Parkinson's therapy on May 21, 2026 is the most consequential clinical setback in neurodegenerative drug development this year, invalidating a hypothesis that had directed hundreds of millions in research capital since 2018 and leaving the two companies without their most closely watched pipeline asset. The trial enrolled 648 adults with Parkinson's disease, randomized between placebo and an oral pill designed to block the LRRK2 protein. The scientific rationale was two-layered. Researchers identified in 2004 that mutations in the LRRK2 gene drive a rare, inherited form of Parkinson's, and a separate finding in 2018 suggested that blocking the protein could extend therapeutic benefit to the broader Parkinson's population, not just mutation carriers. The phase 2 results, reported by Stat News on May 21, 2026, showed the drug failed to slow disease progression, dismantling the broader benefit thesis entirely. Jason Mast and Matthew Herper at Stat News described the outcome as a significant setback to the idea that LRRK2 inhibition could benefit all Parkinson's patients, not merely those with the inherited variant. For institutional investors, the failure matters far beyond Biogen and Denali's share prices. It erases what had been the lead clinical validation for a target class that multiple biotechs, including programs at smaller rare disease-focused developers, have used as a blueprint for capital allocation. When a single trial invalidates a platform hypothesis, the downstream repricing is rarely contained to the two companies running the study. LRRK2 inhibition was a consensus trade, and consensus trades carry crowded exit risk. The LRRK2 story attracted capital because it carried a dual-layer narrative, a genetically validated rare disease anchor, plus a potential mass market label expansion. That combination is a private equity and biotech investors' preferred architecture. Rare disease provides pricing power and regulatory clarity. Label expansion provides revenue scale. Biogen and Denali were executing exactly that playbook. The 2018 mechanistic finding, which suggested that even sporadic Parkinson's patients might respond to LRRK2 blockade, was the expansion thesis. The May 2026 trial result cuts that thesis at the root. What remains is the narrower rare disease population, those with inherited LRRK2 mutations, whose numbers are small enough to limit commercial addressability. Our view: the failure does not mean LRRK2 is a dead target. It means the broader population hypothesis was wrong. Any remaining LRRK2 programs that have been valued on a pan-Parkinson's label will face forced re-underwriting. Investors holding positions in companies whose pipeline valuations assumed LRRK2 efficacy beyond the mutation carrier population should treat May 21 as a repricing event, not a contained data point. Neurology's capital efficiency problem is structural. Not episodic. Parkinson's joins Alzheimer's on the list of neurodegenerative indications where late-stage clinical failure is the modal outcome, not the exception. Biogen's own history in this category, marked by years of costly trial attrition before the controversial aducanumab approval, established the pattern. The LRRK2 result reinforces it. The implication for private equity-backed biotech platforms is direct. Neurology assets command premium acquisition multiples at early stages because the market prices in the optionality of a large unmet need. But the conversion rate from phase 2 to phase 3 success in neurodegeneration consistently underperforms oncology and rare metabolic disease. Buyers who pay peak optionality prices for neurology platforms at Series B or C are systematically overpaying for a risk-adjusted return profile that the public data does not support. The Biogen Denali LRRK2 trial enrolled 648 patients and targeted a protein whose disease-modifying potential for the broader Parkinson's population was established by a single 2018 mechanistic study. That single study provenance should have been a risk flag for any capital allocation model. Genentech's research grant program and the policy battlefield surrounding drug pricing separate from the Parkinson's failure, Stat News reported on May 22, 2026 that Genentech offered grants of up to $125,000 each to academics and researchers willing to produce papers addressing specific topics, including the consequences of U.S. drug pricing policies on innovation, the framing of pharmaceutical R&D as a national strategic asset, and risks associated with research and development investment. The deadline for submissions was June 30, 2026. Ed Silverman, writing in Stats PharmaLot column, noted that while corporate-funded research solicitations are not novel, this one is notable for its directness. Genentech specified the conclusions it once supported rather than soliciting open-ended research that might or might not align with corporate priorities. The implication: Genentech is signaling that the pricing policy environment in Washington represents a material business risk, sufficient to justify a structured lobbying through research campaign. For investors in large-cap pharma and biotech, this is a tell. Companies do not spend $125,000 per grant across what could be a significant number of papers unless the policy threat is real and the regulatory repricing risk is being taken seriously at the executive level. Takeda's $885 million verdict frames the full antitrust exposure and pay for delay litigation. A Philadelphia jury on May 22, 2026 awarded nearly $885 million in damages to pharmacies and wholesalers who alleged that Takeda Pharmaceutical used a reverse payment settlement with generic manufacturer Par Pharmaceutical to delay generic competition for its gastrointestinal drug Amitiza. The settlement at the center of the case involved Takeda paying Par, with Par agreeing to keep its generic off the market until 2021. Takeda terminated its partnership with original developer Sucampo Pharmaceuticals in 2024 and no longer sells Amitiza. The number that matters is not $885 million. Under federal antitrust law, damages in such cases are automatically tripled once the court enters final judgment. Takeda's potential liability rises to more than $2.6 billion. Takeda has vowed to appeal, citing what it described as evidentiary and legal errors in the trial. The company also argued that its settlement was consistent with the Hatch-Waxman Act framework and that generics entered the market at their licensed entry dates. The plaintiff's theory centered on the lubiprostone patent, the active ingredient in Amitiza, which they argued expired in 2014. If that patent was the relevant one, generic competition should have been available 7 years before the 2021 entry date Par agreed to under the settlement. Source: MedCity News, May 22, 2026. If Takeda's appeal fails and treble damages are applied at final judgment, the $2.6 billion exposure represents a liability that would rank among the largest pay-for-delay antitrust awards in U.S. pharmaceutical history. Terms of any settlement discussions were not disclosed. Investment positioning: 3 trades this week's data supports reduced neurology platform exposure priced on pan-indication optionality. The LRRK2 failure confirms that mechanistic findings from a single study, even when scientifically compelling, do not reliably translate to clinical efficacy in heterogeneous Parkinson's populations. Any biotech holding that derives meaningful enterprise value from a broad-label neurology hypothesis based on similarly thin mechanistic precedent carries analogous downside. Monitor large-cap pharma pricing policy risk as a margin variable. Genentech Structured Research Grant Program, with grants up to $125,000 each and a June 30, 2026 submission deadline, is an early indicator that pricing reform in Washington is advancing far enough to prompt proactive defensive action from Roche's U.S. subsidiary. The downstream effect on revenue per unit for any company selling high-priced branded drugs in the U.S. is the second-order variable that institutional holders should be stress-testing in their models. Price pay for delay antitrust risk into branded pharma multiples. The Takeda verdict, if upheld, establishes a data point for what juries will award in reverse payment antitrust cases. For any branded pharma company that has used Hatch-Waxman settlements to manage generic entry timing, the litigation pipeline behind Takeda's case deserves scrutiny. 5 years of class action litigation produced an $885 million verdict. Trebling it to more than $2.6 billion concentrates the mind. The Plaquemine view: the Biogen Denali failure is not primarily a Biogen story or a Denali story. It is a story about how the biotech capital market prices hypothesis risk in neurodegenerative disease, and the answer is, not accurately. Here is the thesis the market has not yet fully priced: when a phase 2 failure invalidates not just a single compound but the underlying biological rationale for a target class, the repricing should cascade through every program that relied on the same mechanistic assumption. The 2018 finding that LRRK2 blockade could benefit all Parkinson's patients, not just mutation carriers, was adopted as near consensus by the neurology investment community. The May 21 trial result did not just kill one drug. It killed the consensus. The second-order effect is on licensing and mergers and acquisitions activity in Parkinson's specifically. Large pharma companies that were watching the LRRK2 trial before making acquisition decisions about neurology platforms will now pause. That pause compresses valuations for private neurology biotechs seeking Series C rounds or strategic partnerships through the second half of 2026. The bid-ask spread between what founders believe their LRRK2 adjacent programs are worth and what a strategically cautious acquirer will pay has just widened materially. The Genentech grant story layers onto this a policy risk variable that the market also underweights. Pharma companies lobbying through academic research is not new, but the explicit targeting of pricing policy arguments with a June 30th deadline signals urgency. If U.S. drug pricing reforms advance through the legislative calendar in 2026, the revenue assumptions underpinning large-cap pharma valuations across the sector need revision, not just for Genentech. The Takeda verdict is the cleanest near-term binary. Appeal outcome determines whether $885 million becomes $2.6 billion. But the structural lesson is that generic delay strategies built on Hatch-Waxman settlements carry litigation tail risk that can materialize a decade after the original deal. Any due diligence on a pharma asset with settlement-managed generic entry dates must model that tail explicitly. The bottom line three data points from 1 week in May 2026 draw a single line. Clinical risk in neurology is underpriced, policy risk in U.S. drug pricing is accelerating, and litigation risk in branded pharma's generic delay strategies is crystallizing into nine-figure verdicts. The institutions that reprice all three simultaneously, rather than treating them as unrelated sector noise, will find the better entry points when the recalibration completes. For Parkinson's specifically, the LRRK2 door is not closed, but the broad population thesis is. Capital should follow the mutation carrier subgroup or move to a different target entirely.